Welcome to the Legacy House Podcast. Our mission as a church is to equip people to know God, live free, and find purpose. We express the mission of our church through adoration, biblical teaching, creativity, and discipleship. We have prepared this message for you, and we know God is going to use it to minister to you wherever you are and in whatever situation you're going through.
Now, if you've got your Bibles, go with me to the book of Amos, the book of Amos. Yeah, exactly. So we're like, whoa, wait a minute. The book of Amos is where we're going tonight or today or whatever time it is. But hey, quick reminder, if this is your first time in the building, you're trying to find out where everything is, we still are in the process of properly putting all the signage and stuff out. If you're looking for restrooms, restrooms are in the kids' building right next door over here. When this building was built in 1973, I guess the bathroom motto was, they can hold it. I guess that was the principle. When that got discussed, it was they can wait. So there's big full bathrooms on the other side over in the kids' space. And if it is your first time, man, after service, take a walk around the campus, see the things that have been done. Just once again, shout out to all of our home team members for the hard and tireless and sometimes thankless work of getting a building ready for you and for me to come in and worship. This place had wall-to-wall red carpet. The walls were yellow. This back wall was three different colors. It was something else to say. Every piece of carpet in the kids' space was a different color. And so to say all that, the reason that we tell you that is because it's just a reminder and a testament of the work that's been done. If you don't know, it's not a testimony. There is no testimony of the effort, of the energy, of the generosity that people have given time, talent, and treasure to get this building to its right standing. So Amos chapter 7 is where we're going to go, and I'm going to try to use this whiteboard today. Everybody hang on. We'll be all right. I love a whiteboard. I believe that God speaks through a whiteboard. I really do. I don't, you know, you laugh like it was funny, and it's not, okay? Because that's how I hear from the Lord. You're like, oh, that's cute. No, I'm serious. Today, we're going to go out of Amos chapter 7, because I was reading the other day, and we had some people who were up here working, and the other day we just took a moment to kind of stop, really. In the midst of all the projects and all the things going on, the things to do, you can get caught up and consumed, like any of us in life, with the patterns. With the routine, where you're kind of building, and somewhere a small fraction of an inch off creates feet and yards and miles off down the road. This week we're going to be hopefully having flooring put in here and in the lobby as well. And they gave us the option when we had all the floors done in the kids' space. They're like, look, we can just give you the material and you can lay it yourself. And I was like, I really don't want to do that. Because if you've ever laid floors before, you know that, you know, an eighth of an inch off here, 15 feet from here is inches off. And it's the same way in our own lives, really, those small, minute moments where we get off that don't really seem like a big deal now wind up putting us a long ways off from the destination that God had for us in just a short distance, in a short period of time. So we took a break the other day, just kind of in the middle of the thing, and me and Pastor Bethany were talking, and I was like, look, so we just need to stop, just take an hour, we're just going to pray, and just not do anything but pray. Because at the end of the day, what we're trying to build here is not a building. What we're trying to build here is a resource to help reach more people for Christ. That's it. We told the church a couple weeks ago, really, to finish out the building the way that we need to for the ministry that God has called us to, and the way we want to reach people, it would take about $30,000 to do that. On one Sunday alone, which was two Sundays ago, yeah, because this is our fourth Sunday in here. Time is flying by. Two Sundays ago, we took up an offering. Some of you might not have been here for that. Took up an offering and raised about $15,000 just on that Sunday, which here's the thing. Almost every single dollar of that has already been flipped back into the building. Like, because no one's trying to pile up a nest egg. No one's trying to build a bank account to prop and lean ourselves on. We'll talk about that a little bit out of Amos chapter 7. We're here to almost be ridiculously generous. Because the world and the times that we live in does not give us the luxury or the ability to sit back on our haunches and just wait for God to show up. So I'm going to have it all stockpiled and ready so that when they get here, I'm ready for them. The Bible was never about come and see. The Bible was about go and tell. So for us, even in facilities like this, like today, I pray, look, that's the funny thing about this. I was talking to someone the other day about it, and we were talking about just finances and all that. And it's funny because we all believe and want to see God do amazing things, but we can often overlook the biblical principle of sowing. And there's no seed to reap if no, there's no fruit to reap if no seed has been sown. And so we talk about here time, talent, and treasure, the seeds God has called us to sow. And so you've done that. I pray maybe the Lord place on your heart today to give towards that. That would be an amazing blessing because I believe, and this is a bit of a sidetrack from the message, but I believe we have a responsibility. Myself, Pastor Bethany, our team, our home team leads, we have a responsibility that when you walk around this building, you can see with the impact that God is making. Like when you walk around this building, you can see the things like, okay, look, there's my seed. Like, I see my seed working there. I see my seed. Like, there's no sacred cows around here. Like, there's nothing that's like, oh, we can't ever touch that. Because as soon as we label something as an item that cannot be touched, we've immediately idolized it. And in our lives, the same is true. Is that when God begins to move and how God wants to move in our life, he wants to move with a spirit of freedom. He wants to move with a spirit of ease that he can look into every area of our heart and our life and he can see what God not only wants to do, but is already doing. You know, often us being aware of God moving is not correlated or connected to whether or not he's moving. I'm gonna say that again for you because you didn't get it. Whether or not we see God moving is in no way connected to whether or not he is moving. He is moving whether you see it or not. He's active whether you see it or not. He's changing people's lives whether we see it or not. So it's not about begging God to move. It's about asking God to open our eyes. And in Amos chapter 7, this is really where you kind of find this, that the prophet Amos was hearing from the Lord, and the Lord was speaking to him all these different things about Israel and really the correction and the leadership and the direction that the people of Israel needed to go. And in Amos chapter 7, I'm going to begin reading in verse 7. If you don't have your Bible, they'll put it up there on the screen for you. And then at the end of every service, on the tables back here, through the generosity of our people, this is your seed in action. There's Bibles that we provide free for anyone who needs one. You don't have to just like use it and then drop it back off. You can take it with you when you go, and it's yours because it's your seed. And all right, verse 7, it says, "Then he showed me another vision." That's great. That's good news right there. "Then he showed me another vision." For some of you today, if you can get that, you've got everything you need today. You're holding on to a vision that was 15 years old. And God moved then and maybe then and only then. God wants to show you some new things today. I believe for all of you in here today, God wants to show you some new things today. Amos said, "God then showed me another vision." Look at the person next to you and say, "Another vision." You're like, "Look, I didn't know this was one of these talking churches, okay? Like, I didn't know I was going to have to go here and actually say something." God forbid, right? You know what I mean? Like, who wants to talk to Christians anyways, right? Like, I get it. It says, "I saw the Lord standing beside a wall that had been built using a plumb line. He was using a plumb line to see if the wall was still straight." He was using a plumb line to see if the wall was still straight. Still straight. A lot of us have started straight. But the question is, are we still straight? We started with everything in the right order. We started with everything perfectly square and perfectly leveled and perfectly blah, 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 blah. We started right, but where are we now? And this is Amos, and he's talking here, and he's just revealing, he's relaying what the Lord has talked to him. He says, "To see if the line was still straight." And the Lord said to me, he said, "Amos, what do you see?" He said, "I answered a plumb line." And the Lord replied, "I will test my people with this plumb line, and I will no longer ignore their sins. Their pagan shrines of your ancestors will be ruined, and the temples of Israel will be destroyed. I will bring the destiny of King Jeroboam to a sudden end." Look back again with me, if you will, in verse 8. It says, "And the Lord said to Amos, what do you see?" What do you see? Can we pray this morning before we go any further? Father, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we thank you for the work that you're accomplishing, Lord, in our hearts and our lives. God, what you're building is not a building, but what you're building is people. So today, Lord, we give you our hearts and our lives. And Lord, we pray that you would build us. God, that you would strengthen us, that you would create a foundation in us, Lord, that is sustainable, not just for our lives, but for those who come after us. Father, we give you praise, we give you honor, and in Jesus' name pray, amen and amen. Amos here talks about this idea of a plumb line, and it's something that probably a lot of you have never used before, and maybe you're unfamiliar with. So for us to really understand what's being said here in the scripture, we've got to understand really what is the Lord talking about. Basically, all that a plumb line is would be a rope, some form of string with a weight tied to the end. And the reason that the weight was tied to the end was because gravity itself would show you what was perfectly level. So a plumb line can only test the straightness of something that is vertical. It can test the depth, and it can test the vertical straightness of an object. So what they would do is basically the Lord gave Amos this vision, and the Lord is standing beside this wall, and he's holding this string or this rope, and he's holding it up next to the wall, letting gravity be the thing that holds it down. And he's testing this wall that was already built to see if it was still straight. And Amos here, he's receiving this other vision, and it kind of seems pretty straightforward. And the Lord asked him what he saw. I believe it's so important, before we just dive into this, I believe it's so important that we understand that it matters to God how you see your situation. Like it matters to God how you see your situation. Because if we don't see our situation correctly, then what we might see as punishment, God is really seeing as something that's preparing us for what he wants to do. So he asks Amos, he says, hey man, what do you see? And he's like, oh, I see a plumb line. Okay, great, good. I'm glad we're on the same page about this. And he goes on and he begins to explain to Jeroboam the specifics about the people and the children of Israel. Because really what he was saying was, these were my people. And I led them out of captivity, and I led them away from the things that were destroying and destructive inside of their lives. And now we're in a spot that what was once straight is no longer straight. What was once straight is no longer straight. And so today I want to take a few minutes, and I know this is going to be a little bit different. I don't have like points like 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm going to just use the whiteboard preface this. Sometimes I misspell words. This is not your moment in time, okay? To be like, excuse me, there's a U in that. Okay, like, no, okay? Like, let's just, by the grace of God. I blame the state of Kentucky. I do. You couldn't fail a spelling test. This is a true story. In public schools, you couldn't fail a spelling test. They said that you were being a creative speller. I'm serious. Think of you laughing like it's funny. Like, oh, that's a funny Kentucky. No, it's real life. So anyways, if you've got a pen or a piece of paper, or you've got an iPhone, go to your notes, hit the little thing that's a pencil down in the corner, and you can draw this along with me. And hopefully this will help. We're going to play charades here. Two words. First word. No, I'm just playing. That's not what we're doing. I'm going to write down these two words. I'm going to write down the word plumbing. If you're laughing at my handwriting, God knows. Plumbing power. Sorry, it's kind of intense. Has a very septic reference to it. I'm sorry about that. I apologize. Feels very Roto-Rooter-esque. Like, I apologize. Plumbing power. Because there's power in our lives, and this is what we're gonna take a few things off of this. We're gonna look a couple different directions here, really at four things that I feel like we see from this. But there's power to allowing your life and looking at your life being lined up and being plumb with the Word of God, being straight with the Word of God. We're in this series that we've been doing. This is our last week, called Stand By Me, and we've been talking about how. When we get close to God and we begin to grow in our closeness with God, how it heals, restores, renews, transforms, changes our life. But the problem is that we can often feel distant. We said this a few weeks ago. We talked about the fact that it's not that God is distant from us, but it's that we can become distant from God. We talked a little bit about for a few different areas there, but today I believe that there's some things that we have to begin to check inside of ourselves. There's some areas in our lives that we need to measure. If you look in, for the sake of time, you don't have to, but in Amos chapter 6, this is the Lord, he's speaking again to Amos. He says, I despise the arrogance of Israel. Look, here's the thing that we have to understand today, is that arrogance is an assault on the Lord and his deity. Arrogance is an assault on God's lordship. Because all of a sudden, when I begin to be arrogant and filled with pride, what I'm saying is that I know better than him anyways. I know better than him anyways. He's just, who is he? What is he? Like, as soon as I begin to allow myself to become arrogant, I'm no longer plumb with who God has called me to be. It might be a half an inch off, it might be a mile off, but I'm not in perfect alignment and power with what God has had for me. So there's a few things as we look at this that I want us to, some words that I want us to just kind of let settle in our spirit. This is, like I said, I don't have like, all my points don't rhyme. They don't all start with the first letter. I just want to kind of unpack this thought to you because I want us to understand really what it means to be in right alignment. You hear people refer to the word alignment. I want to be in right alignment with the word of God. The first word is this that I want you to take a look at here is this word level. Level. The Bible's interesting because it actually talks a lot about being level. Some people, I've heard Christians refer to it and say that we shouldn't use the word balance. There's no such thing as a balanced Christian life. I understand what you're saying there. I understand that in theory, maybe you'll even reference the verse that the Bible says he'd rather us be hot or cold because if we're lukewarm, he would just assume spit us out of his mouth. And it's an intense verse. And we can make the mistake to believe that that balance is about being level. And it's not. It really couldn't be further from that. But when we begin to allow our lives to be plumb with the word of God, then we have to understand that really what God is calling us to level is these two things. It's the highs and the lows. It's the highs and the lows. God is calling us in our lives to learn how to manage the highs and the lows. We can't lose our mind and celebrate and do like a praise dance on the mountaintop, but quit church every time we hit the valley. Oh God, I just, you know, the church is just too much. Like, it's just, I don't have time for this anymore. I don't have time for God anymore. I just bought my kids, my job, fill in the blank. But this space right here in the middle is called balance. And balance is only found by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, what we begin to find is that we have the discernment to know that the highs aren't all our success and the lows don't define my identity. So I can continue to keep going. I can continue to keep walking because it's not the highs that I wait for and it's not the lows that destroy me. It's this idea that, look, I'm going to allow my life to be level. I'm going to find the spot for me where all of a sudden the things in my life begin to line up. Look, here's what we have to understand about the word balance is that this doesn't mean that we have the time for everything, but it means that we have the time for the right things. I would rather have to eat fast food every night and raise my kids in the house of the Lord than have a perfectly plated and tabled meal every single evening, but church be an afterthought for my family. And I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, and like, that's awesome. Like, there's balance, but it's about understanding the seasons. It's understanding that this, like, we're in the middle of this renovation for this building. Our life will not always be as hectic as it has been the last couple weeks. It won't always be up here 24/7 working, sweating, pulling, whatever. Like, it's gonna be like that for a couple more weeks, maybe two at the max, and then it'll balance out to a much normal schedule. So what do? It's that when it gets a little tough, I just hang on. I just hang on. I don't freak out down here because I understand that I'm not going to get to have everything. You understand that if the pursuit of life and the pursuit of God is about learning to how to have everything, you will always come up empty-handed. Because Christianity was never about how do I fit it all into my life? Maybe, just maybe, what you need is a little less you time and a little more God time. Like, and I'm not, once again, not trying to step on your toes, but I'm just trying to get you into heaven. Like, well, I'm already there by the grace of God. That's true. But Hebrews 13 talks about the fact that as a spiritual leader, as a pastor in your life, my responsibility is to help save your soul. I care, you go home, you don't worry about that. You might not care or think about the other person on the other row. You might not know their name. You might never have talked to them. But myself, Pastor Bethany, we have to carry the weight for the whole thing. I notice when you're not here. I notice when you're tired. I notice when you're frustrated. I notice when you're filled with joy. I notice that. And that's a weight that God has placed on us to carry. But at the same time, for us to really do this thing, like there's not a magic tree. Like, we don't have like an energy tree in the backyard back here that we've planted that on Mondays we go eat of the fruit from the energy tree and God restores our soul. Also, quick note in case you're wondering, there's not a money one out there either. Like, there's not, If there was, my God, we would have an orchard of them. If there was a tree you could plant, I'd plant that bad boy all over this property. I'd cut down Hillcrest trees. I'd be planting them everywhere. Look, guys, we'll split it. But the reality is this, is that for us to do all these things, I mean, all of us want to be filled with an active and a living God, right? And we all want to be a part of an active and a life-giving church. Well, how does that happen? It happens through the lives of active, life-giving people. It happens through people who say, look, I see the need and I meet the need. You might be skilled and gifted at one of the myriads of projects that we've done. And we've had people who've stepped up and stepped in the last few weeks that have just found their spot in these last few weeks of the projects that we've had to do. I mean, it's amazing. Maybe for some people, it's the gift of generosity. I know some people, like, you might not be skilled and gifted with a trade, but your hand's really great at writing a check. My God, did it write that check, my man? Because here's the big deal. Here's the truth. The truth of the matter is God needs your gift. I know it's funny, we laugh about it, but the Bible talks about some people have the gift of giving. Like, it's this actual spiritual gift. Also, like, the gift of faith. Some people just walk in a supernatural level and measure of faith. Exactly. I'm like, oh, okay, I thought that was a joke. No, it's the truth. Because inside of all of this, we want to see God do these things. We want the highs, but we don't know what to do when we experience the lows. Because what does this mean? God, I thought this was all highs. Man, I signed up for this because I thought it was going to be great. I was going to get more followers on Instagram. I had a really cool building. We have these lights. I don't even know what those are, but we've got them. Like, God, that's what I was waiting for. So, God, why is my family still struggling? Lord, why do I still feel not fully like I should? It's because maybe where God is trying to lead us to is not just seeking the highs in our life, but maybe what God is trying to do is get us to the place that we can understand what it means to be level. Pastor Bethany is a big deal. She likes to decorate and she loves it. And the most challenging moments of our marriage have been hanging either drapes or pictures. Those are the moments where I'm like, God, I don't know if we're going to get through this. Like this is the defining moment, Lord. Like, you better show up now. Or like, it's those moments. And no matter how many times I've hung something, I know it needs to be level. My problem is that somewhere in my brain, my eyes, I must have like wonky eyes or something like that. Cause like, I'll look at something, I'm like, yeah, that's dead on. And then Pastor Bethany will come in a few minutes later, she's like, that's really, really off. But it's like all of a sudden, once someone tells you it's off, then you're like, oh yeah. Like, yeah, it's like all the way off. You're like, I don't know what made me ever think that was level. But when something begins to get level, there's only one way to know. Like, if you've ever used a level before, you know that there's a little, it seems super primitive, but there's this little glass tube and there'll be a little bubble in there, and that bubble has to line up between two lines. How is it 2018 and that's how we're still leveling things? It's a bubble in some water. Like, that's like, what do we, grab the bubble. And so that's, but you have to keep your eye on that bubble to see when it's level. You don't keep your eye on, we were hanging TVs. The kids' rooms now have TVs in them, and they're not, I know, amen, right? They're not just on stands anymore where a kid could jump on it like a skateboard and push it around the room. They're mounted on the wall. They're nice. They're brand new TVs for the kids. It's your seed. And so they can watch their orange curriculum and stuff that we use for kids. And we invest more money in kids than any other area of our church. And that's not just something we say from a pulpit to make you feel good because you got kids. It's something we can back up with the receipts. And our kids' curriculum alone is $1,000 a year that we spend just on the teaching materials for our kids. And so that's neither here nor there. But we were hanging the TVs the other day. And when you're leveling out this TV, you don't keep your eye on the TV. You keep your eye on the level. And in our lives, that's what we wind up doing is we wind up keeping our eyes on the circumstances of our life and we wonder why it never gets level. It's because we're looking at the circumstance. The circumstance isn't what tells me what's level and what's not level. God tells me what's level and what's not level. Because there's been times in my life that I've looked at the circumstances and I've said, this is perfect. I'm nailing it. And God's like, you're way off. Because this is what he's telling Amos here, right? Like he said, he showed me another vision. I saw the Lord standing beside a wall that had been built using a plumb line. And he was using a plumb to see if the wall was still straight. And the Lord asked him, told him the plumb line. He said, I will test my people with this. We don't get to create our own tests. Like, it's not like a take-home test where we get to, like, we create the questions for ourselves. Like, do you feel all right? Yeah, I feel pretty good. God has, through his divine order, one of our four pillars, you'll see it on the backsides of these two windows, these words that are on the windows in the back of the room, are the four pillars that we really build everything on as a church: creativity, discipleship, adoration, and biblical teaching. Everything we do has to be able to stand on those four pillars. And from that biblical teaching element, what we understand there is that I balance my life in the word, not in my opinion. I balance my life on the word of God, not my opinion. Why? Because your feelings lie to you. They hate me. They overlook me. They don't care about me. They don't see my gift. They don't understand my purpose. They made me feel sad. Bro, you're 24 years old. Like, grow up. But we live in a society and a culture today where we want to pander to everyone's emotions. Show me one place in the Word of God where Jesus did that. I will wait. Jesus loved those who were in need. He had time and cared for those who were lost. But he never made excuses for their issues. He always spoke truth with clarity that said, hey, this is not who God, I created you to be. I love that God can look at us in our lives and he say, this is not who I created you to be. You're better than this. Because inside of that truth, there's love. And in that love, I find my purpose and I find my hope and I find my joy. Okay, are you with me on this? Highs and lows, levels, balancing? Okay, great, great, great. Let me give you the next word here. The next word, which way do I want to go? If you ever want to see what my notes look, this is my notes. This is how I write my Sunday sermons. There they are right there. Oh, let's do this. The next word is line, L-I-N-E, line. Some of you are like, that's not how you spell it. That's what. That'd be bad. That'd be bad if you messed up line. Yeah. Here's the interesting thing about this. And all of these four words here are going to have to do with this idea of some form of measurement or some form of leveling in our lives. Because here's when we begin to look at the line of our life, we have to really begin to ask ourselves the question, like, why do we walk the way that we walk? Like, for yourself, like, why do you follow the Lord the way you follow the Lord? What's the way I was taught? Okay, does that make it right? What's what I've always seen? Okay, does that make it right? Maybe it does. I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm just saying, why? So, I'm not going to write that whole phrase out, but why do we? Why do we walk the way that we walk? Not only why do we walk the way that we walk, but how do we walk? How do we walk? Like, in your life and in your relationship with the Lord, how are you walking? Because if you understand, like, when you were a kid in school, they probably had you walk in a single file line. And often what we do is we get inside of the church and we can kind of take these same principles that were ingrained in us as kids to walk in a single file line anytime we go anywhere, where we're stacked person in front of person in front of person in front of person. So all we wind up doing is looking at the back of people's heads all the days of our life. But you've ever seen somebody, like, when somebody goes missing, they don't line up in a single file line and march through the woods in a single file line trying to find somebody. They line up shoulder to shoulder trying to find somebody. Because they understand that we can take the same amount of people and cover a whole lot more ground if we'll just simply change the way that we walk. Yeah. Like, I can take 100 people, and if we all line up in a single file line, all we'll do is create one well-worn path. That's it. But, like, I'm not trying to be like my dog. I've got this dog, okay? Golly, my dog. He entered into doggy heaven last night. I was trying to find scripture on asphyxiating animals. Like, I was like, that's bad. That's what I was, I'm like, this is real heavy. No, look, my dog is, some of it, I know, like, I love my dog, but my dog has issues. Like, I don't know what his problem is. He's sweet as can be, but dumb as a brick. Like, you ever met somebody like that? I'm just playing. Yep, sweet as can be, dumb as a brick. That's my dog. I've got a Doberman. He's about 6 months old, and he's far bigger. That's the problem, is that he's bigger than he should be for his age. Therefore, you think he's smarter than he actually is. My God, that'll preach, though, because listen, here's the thing. Look, here's the thing. Some of you are like, let's see where this goes. Look, here's the thing though. Some of us sometimes can mature and develop so fast that we don't actually have the foundation to back it up. And so we prop ourselves up real quick and we wonder why we can't wind up standing on that ground. It's because it's not actually who we are. We've inflated ourselves to look a size that we're actually not. We've inflated ourselves to be bigger than we really are. And so my dog last night, and my dog, he's an idiot. I don't know if you can say that while you're preaching, but that's my dog. And the funny thing is he'll run the same way, probably a lot like your dog does, and they'll wear out one path. They've got a whole yard to run through, but they will burn up and down one single path. There's green grass everywhere, but in the area that they run, they wind up not only getting dirty, but staying dirty. And in our lives, what we have to begin to understand is not, God hasn't called us to walk in a single file line where we all just get in the same row, the same order, look the same, dress the same, talk the same, act the same, have the same life experiences, do the same things on the weekend. No, it's about us learning how to stand shoulder to shoulder. Because once I begin to stand shoulder to shoulder with you, we're instantly covering double the amount of ground if you were standing behind me. Because then when you're beside me and the next person's beside them, we all of a sudden then shift from addition to multiplication. Because then when I'm adding people, I might only add two, but if I add two to my one, I've now just grown 200% in the ground that I can cover. Because God has called us, like in our lives, the things that God has called us to is not just to simply be present. God has called us to actually make a difference. So we can all sit around and hope, and I can sit around and hope, God, one day I believe that you're going to just open the windows of heaven and blessings are going to pour out on Legacy House. Sometimes you've got to learn how to kick the window open. Like David prayed some radical prayers. David prayed some intense prayers. David prayed some aggressive prayers. We said, Lord, I'm drawing a line in the sand right here, and I'm asking you to move. Some of us, the problem is that we are walking in the wrong line. We're just mindlessly, like, remember when you were a kid, maybe this wasn't you, but for me, when I was a kid and I would walk in those single file lines, I would just get up in my head somewhere, like thinking about other things, and I wouldn't realize the line had stopped in front of me. And you run into the person, like, they pushed me. you're trying to figure out anything other than, like, I just wasn't paying attention to this one thing. But the reality is, in our lives, that's how we live. We can get caught up in the routine of this, that we're just kind of walking with our heads down, not really paying attention, not really caring, not really trying to be on the lookout for God moving. And we just wind up getting somewhere, not even knowing how we got there. It's like when, I know none of you text and drive, but when you get in your car and you're looking on your phone, and then about three stoplights later, you're like, wait a minute, how long has it been since I looked at the road? It's that feeling. Because in our lives, we can get caught up in the routine of church and the mundane nature of life. And then all of a sudden, we don't realize that the line in front of us has stopped. God has not called you to walk in a single file line. God has called you to walk shoulder to shoulder with somebody who's actually believing, caring for, hoping that God's going to change some things inside of your life. Okay, anyways, sorry. Let's keep going. I'll say this about this, is that the way that we walk has some important attachments here, is that there has to be a who to our why. Not only can there be a why do you serve the Lord, but who are you serving in serving the Lord? Not only, and here's what I mean by that, is that it's not just about like the why. Well, because I love church. That's not enough. It's not enough. If you're here just for church, you're going to come up short. You just are. It's not the biggest building. We don't have the most expensive lights. If you're here for the production, you're going to come up short. There's other places with bigger budgets in town who can do a lot more than we could do from a financial standpoint. But if you're here because of Jesus and who he is, then you begin to understand that the way that I walk is important, that I haven't just been called to follow aimlessly behind something, but I've been called to walk with purpose and intentionality for the destiny and the idea that is the dream inside of me. Let me give you the next thing. And this is a little bit different here, but you just have to hang with me. All right, the next word is this, straight. We talked about this a minute ago. Straight. The Bible says there's two ways. There's a narrow way, in a broad way. Here's the difference between the two. The broad way and the narrow way. The broad way is easier, but it's crowded. It's like going to Disney World. The Bible says the broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many are there that find it. It's like going to Disney World. There's 10,000 people there, and they're all just stuck mindlessly in a line, kind of meandering from spot to spot. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. But narrow is the way that leads to life, and few that are finding it. Look, it's crowded on the Broadway. The easy path is just simply that. It's easy. Yeah. Being average is really, really easy. Yeah. Being average as a Christian is probably even easier. Because we don't even actually have to be Christian to be an average Christian. The average Christian probably isn't even a Christian. Like, you know, the average Christian is just the guy who's like, praise God, but like cussing his wife out in the parking lot. You know what I mean? Like, it's the guy who might, like, clap and worship, but is still struggling and addicted to things on his computer. So, like, that's what, you with me here? Okay. Sorry to step on your toes. But the difference between this one is that this one, when you begin to walk in the narrow way, you're going to begin to realize that there's plenty of space for you. It's narrow, but it's the road less traveled. You're going to get out there and realize, you know what, there's... Not everybody wants to go the hard way. Why? Because on the narrow way, it says that there's few people. Meaning that every corner, you're not going to have a cheerleader. At every moment of need, you might not have somebody right there in that moment to say, man, you're killing it. You're killing the game, my man. Keep going. No, but guess what? On the broad way, you'll have plenty of people who will continue to encourage you that this way of destruction is the way that you need to go. Why? Because everybody's trying to convince everybody that how I'm living is okay. Like, I'm a good person. You're a good person. Look, good was never the qualification for salvation. Because, like, in my Bible and in your Bible, it says this. It says that no one is good. Not even one. Like, but I'm a nice guy. You're not good. I hear a lot of people who say, man, God wouldn't send a good person to hell. You've missed the whole premise of salvation from the very beginning. It's not about being good. You can never be good. You're not good. There's not been a moment in your life that you've been good. You might have been nice, but you're not good. Why? Because the sin nature is inside of you. It's been inside of you from the jump. So what we need here, and the only way for life, is to begin to allow ourselves to walk the narrow way. Take the road less traveled. I mean, like, you ever have those moments, like, this is those moments for me, sometimes when I get preaching, I get really, like, internally amped up, and so I have to contain it on the outside, because, like, remember, like, how Hulk Hogan, like, when he'd get really fired up and he's wrestling, and he'd, like, rip his shirt off, that kind of thing? Yeah, or, like, Bret the Hitman Hart would, like, throw his glasses. They don't even know about Bret the Hitman Hart. He had these bad sunglasses this dude would wear. My God, they're, like, purple. They're, like, wrapped all the way around the side. They wrapped all the way back here where the man didn't even have eyeballs. Like, what is he trying to shade back here? I don't know. Anyways, like, you have those moments where it's like, golly, like, this is what we have to understand, is that the life God has called you to is a life that you can live. He's not set you up for failure. He's just maybe set you up from a little less crowded of a way. So please don't think that because the path is a little less desolate or a little more desolate doesn't mean that it's not right. Here's what will happen is that when you begin to live your life the way that you have been called to live your life, you're probably going to look around and realize that some of the people who are the closest to you in your old season will not be the closest to you in this season. Because at some point, somebody's got to lead. Like, if I can speak to anyone of any age, but especially to young adults, someone has got to lead. Like, someone's got to step up. Sometimes my generation has become the most mindless generation. You're creative, you're brilliant, you think outside of the box at every turn. But it's so easy for my generation to just get caught up in the routine and the pattern of just following. We all want to be leaders so much that none of us actually lead. Because of the insecurity inside of our heart that if I lead, maybe I'll get hurt. There's too much at risk for you to wait. There's too much to risk for you to wait. Anyways, let me give you the last thing, and then we're going to wrap this bad boy up. Last word is this, is just measure. There's a pastor who used to say, he would say that when you look at a measuring tape or you pull out a ruler, you realize that there's numbers all the way down it. Whole numbers, fractions, there's numbers all the way down it. And as you go down this measuring tape, each one of those numbers represents a different unit of measurement, obviously. And as you get down this way, you begin to find out that numbers actually matter to God. Numbers matter to God. There's a whole book on it. But numbers matter to God. Why? Because we can often think that God just, he just wants the free-willing flow of the Holy Ghost. And if there's any form of structure, if I can't take my shoes off and worship, God's not in this place. No, no. Maybe you got crazy toes and God wants you to leave your shoes on. Maybe he blinked for a moment when he got to your feet creating you and he's like, oh, just leave them on. like, look, here's the thing. Sometimes what we can do is we can wind up living in this lie that tells me nothing should measure me. This is where we get the phrase, don't judge me. What we're saying is don't measure my life. Who are you to measure me? The Bible talks about, well, number one, it says the inside of the house of the Lord, we've been called to measure each other. Believers have been called to be the unit of measurement for each other. The Bible says the iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's why you need to be spiritually strong. We were telling some leaders this the other day. That's why you need to be spiritually strong, because two, like a sharp thing and a dull thing can't sharpen each other. The sharp thing will destroy the dull thing. I used the Jell-O reference the other day. I think it made people uncomfortable. I don't know. But you can rub two pieces of Jell-O together all day long. Nothing's getting sharp. Like, you're not like, God, that is some sharp Jell-O right there. Like, no, it's just going to turn into a soupy, nasty mess. Why? Because it's not sharp. It's not hard to start off with. But in our lives, sometimes we wonder why we're not being strengthened. It's because we're not spiritually strong. It's that we're not like looking at the plumb line in our life to see, is our life in vertical order with the Lord? Or have I gotten out of alignment? Because if I've gotten out of alignment and I'm now no longer level and I'm living down here in this low, then I'm going to get destroyed anytime anybody tries to measure my life. And a lot of times I don't want to be measured because I'm living in this spot. I'm like, I don't want you to measure, like I should be 6 feet tall, but you're measuring me at about 5 inches. And it's why, like, it's because like God has made us, a lot of us, I believe in here, and hopefully this is a life-giving word to you today, because God has made a lot of us in here bigger than what we're standing. He's made you taller than the height in which you're using right now, because all of a sudden we begin to understand that when God measures my life, I hope that I get to the end of this race and I will die one day. We can all take a deep breath, but so will you. And the longer we ignore that fact, the longer we'll ignore the need to measure our life. What did I do today for eternity? What did I do? What did I do with my gift? What did I do with my finances? What did I do? Because at the end of the day, when we stand before God, it's the only thing that will matter. We lost, Dr. Billy Graham passed away this last week, and the world recognized his death. Some opposed, some agreed with. You might have had a family member, maybe even yourself, that you heard Dr. Billy Graham preach live, or a family member of yours who was impacted or saved by Reverend Graham's life. But when you look at all the different quotes, and it's so awesome to see the things that he said, you realize that everything centers and focuses around this one idea, which is eternity. If we understood and we believed that our next breath wasn't promised, it would change the way we lived our lives. Like, you might be 25, you might be 75 in the room, doesn't matter. If we believed that, if we believed that how we measured up mattered, it would change the way we lived our lives. It would change the way that we spend our time. It would change the words that we used. It would change our entire lives. The band's going to come back up, and we're going to close here in just a minute, but the important thing about when we begin to measure our life is when I begin to allow the Lord to measure me, examine me, examine my heart, examine my life. Yeah, if you're going to get baptized, you can go ahead and get ready for that. They know that already. Sorry, I probably need to say that. So I preached a little bit over today. I can't do that next week, so I want to get my money's worth today. But here's the thing. Today for you, you might be like Amos. The reality is that Amos, he understood this simple truth in the very first verse, verse 7. It says, then he showed me. Like, that blessed me. Like, I didn't even think about that. I was looking over my notes again this morning as I was walking back through here. And that blessed me. Like that line right there blessed me. Then he showed me another vision. God is not through with you yet. He's not done with you yet. Like, he hasn't given up on you. He's not over. The time has not come to an end. Like, the hope has not been lost. I don't know what you walked in through here today with, what weight you were carrying, what burden you felt, whatever the issue or dealing, like, situation was for you. God wants to begin to bring some things in your life into order. He wants to begin to measure your life and begin to see, you know what? We started this thing off building it straight. We now need to see if this thing is still straight. We started this thing off building it in the right order, building in the right process, building in the right system, but we got to see if this thing is still operating, moving in the same way. Look, we serve a God who's bigger than anything that we could imagine. Look, today for you, some of you in here, you might be dealing with some bondage. You might have some insecurity. You might have some hidden things in your life that you feel like no one knows about, and you're walking with it and you're carrying with it and it's weighing you down. The good news is that the grace of God wants to meet you right where you are. He didn't bring you this far just to leave you and be like, "Huh, you tried." He's brought you to this place so that your life could forever be different. More than any of that, I really do think that God's desire for all of us is not just that we would feel filled up, but that we would be filled up so that we could fill the lives of others. The gospel is not a narcissistic story of self-fulfilling prophecies. The gospel is the story of endless, ridiculous, reckless love. It says he loved you even when you didn't love yourself. He didn't give up on you when you wanted to give up on yourself. He believed in you when no one believed in you. He cared for you when you couldn't even muster up the energy to care about yourself. Like what God is doing here, like I love there. So there's a rapper and he just put out a video and they gave him $1 million to make this video and he gave it all away. And it was interesting because it struck a chord with me because I hate when the generosity outside of the church is stronger than the generosity inside of the church. The title of the song is called God's Plan, and it's great. It's like, dude, he understands it. Like, it's funny. It's like a biblical principle in an unbiblical vessel. But the reality is the biblical principle is still the biblical principles that what God has given me, he's given it to me to give away. Like what he's given to me, he's given to me to give away. He's given me my gifts, so that I'll give my gift away. He's given me my talent, so I'll give my talent away. He's given me my time, so I'll give my time away. He's given me my treasure, my resources, so that I'll give my resources away. It's because my life is not about containing, building the nest egg, securing my 401k for myself. My life is about endlessly, relentlessly, never ending, saying, God, who and what, God, can I give my life to? There's probably people inside of this room today who they might not need your resources. They just need to hear your story. They just need to know what you've been through. They need to know what you've walked through. They need to know the valleys that your marriage has experienced, but then how God has led you through it and he's brought you back to a place of redemption in life. I mean, my God, like I believe that he's not done with this yet. He's not through with this yet. Like, and so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a moment before we close out. And in just a moment, we're going to, we've got, I think 7 or 8 people who are going to be baptized today. And so what we're going to do is a little bit different because we didn't want to do it at the end of the service. And at the end of the service, you got to grab your kids and like you're leaving and they're kind of getting randomly baptized with a few people. So the band is going to lead us in a song. And as they start the song, when those guys are ready, they're going to come back in and then we're going to just baptize them right here, like during the service before we dismiss. And so what would you do is if you would stand with me all across the room and we're going to just worship the Lord one more time in this song. And then in just a moment, we're going to baptize these people and celebrate with them today for what they're doing.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. You can find more info and resources from Legacy House on our website, www.legacyhouse.life, or by following us on social media under the handle @LegacyHouseFL. Don't miss next week's podcast, From Our House to Yours.